This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 291, for the weekend of May 5th through May 7th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, where we talk about movie stuff, TV stuff, and other forms of entertainment. We're weird like that. All right, Art, my co-host, how's it going?
Yep, it is going well. Had a long weekend, and it was over International Tabletop Day, which I'm sure will come up a lot more later in the show. But overall, I cannot complain.
Yeah, you're not much of a complainer, are you?
That is not true. I complain, I rant, I rave. I provide a host of services when the need arises.
All right. And you can go to backseatproducers.com for that price list of Art's services. Okay. Speaking of services, let's see what is at... Or, excuse me, what happened at the box office last weekend. So, this is for the weekend of April 28th through April 30th. Here are your top five movies. At number one, we have The Fate of the Furious at $19.9 million in its third week release. At number two, How to Be a Latin Lover at $12.3 million. At number three, we have, oh boy, there's a lot of vowels. Bahubali 2. : The Conclusion at $10.4 million. At number four, we have The Boss Baby at $9.4 million in its fifth week release. And we also have at number five, The Circle, which is the pattern of when you're just about to go down the toilet, at $9 million in its first week release. So, there's your top five. $19 million gets you number one.
Yeah, that's a pretty sad week. I see number six, Beauty and the Beast is just about to cross $500 million domestic, which is quite impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's no reason to keep in theaters.
I'm really interested in seeing The Fate of the Furious. I just listened to, How Did This Get Made's, episode on it. And, it sounds really interesting.
They're saying it's bad.
No, they just covered that one as a good movie. They've covered all of the Fast and Furious movies. I think it really started with the second one, Tokyo Drift, because Tokyo Drift was a horrible movie. It really fell down all over the place. They didn't have Vin Diesel in it. It had a number of problems.
That's the scary thing, is that's the only one of the series I've seen. not judging.
All right. I was just saying, see, that's probably why you haven't watched any other ones, because you watched the worst one first.
No, that's not the reason. Okay. All right, so that was what happened at the box office last week. So now let's go over to look at what is coming out this weekend, to no surprise to anybody. So Art, why don't you tell us about a little film that is near and dear to your heart.
Okay, we are going to kick it off with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. This is 85% fresh on the tomato meter, 158 reviews counted, 135 fresh, 23 rotten, 99% want to see it out of 60,000 users. Set to the all-new Sonic backdrop of Awesome Mixtape 2, Marvel Studios' Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventures as they traverse the outer reaches of the cosmos. The Guardians must fight to keep their newfound family together as they unravel the mystery of Peter Quill's true parentage. Old foes become new allies, and fan-favorite characters from the classic comics will come to our heroes' aid as the Marvel Cinematic Universe continues to expand. Rated PG-13 for sequences of sci-fi action and violence, language, and brief suggestive content. Genre is action and adventure, comedy, science fiction, and fantasy. Directed by James Gunn, written by James Gunn. Runtime 137 minutes. And we have all our people returning: Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, Michael Rooker, Karen Gillian, Kurt Russell, Elizabeth Debicki.
She's new.
Is she the little telepath? Or is that no Palm?
No, Mantis is the one you're Mantis, referring to.
Palm Kelementief. Kelementief? Yeah. Anyway.
Sounds good to me.
Yes. Sean Gunn. Gotta love him. So, yeah. I could not be more excited to see this. We gotta find somebody to go see this weekend.
Well, this is a Marvel movie, so I will be with the other patrons of the comic book store at the private screening. So hopefully work doesn't screw me over like it did for Logan, but we'll see. It's interesting. You know, one miniseries I ended up watching that I really enjoyed was The Night Manager, and Elizabeth Debicki was very alluring in that six episode miniseries. So I'm excited to see her performance in this one. No idea who Aisha is. I think it's a villain, but I'm not really sure. I guess we're all waiting around to see, you know, can they show Thanos? And does he appear? Who knows? But yeah, you know, it's kind of, I keep waiting for like a blow the doors off villain.
Okay. You know?
Is it Kurt Russell? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all goes down.
I mean, if you look at Gunn's previous movies, I mean, he could go in such a weird off-center direction. But I'm sure that he has bullet points that he has to stick to. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how entertaining a movie this one will be.
Yeah.
But, you know, could there be higher expectations for a sequel?
No, probably not. This one came so out of nowhere, and now everybody wants lightning in a bottle again.
Right. So we'll definitely be going to see it in the theater. Haven't been in the theater in a while. They're saying $400 million domestic for this one. Well, it's probably even going to go even higher than that, but we'll see. But I'm a little taken aback at 23 rotten reviews.
I think people are just, they want to hate. Anything of note in the reviewers?
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Let me see. Oh, obviously the fresh ones are not, there's not going to be much there. But okay, here we have Frank Switek from One Guy's Opinion. Overstuffed, an elephantine sequel to a movie that was lighter on his feet. It tries so hard that the strain shows all too clearly. Here, Kyle Smith from National Review. I suppose there's a kind of genius in Gunn's ability to remember what made him laugh in fourth grade, but if your sense of what's funny hasn't grown a tad more sophisticated since you're in primary school, then yeah, so. And then, just because I want to challenge myself with the pronunciation, we have Ignati Vishnevetsky, or Nevetsky. Let me try it last name. Vishnevetsky. From AV Club, likable and irreverently funny for what it is. So his name was actually longer in his little blurb. yeah. So, I mean, you know, there isn't that much to say, but I do want to look something up real quick while we're here. So the original Guardians of the Galaxy, truth be told, 288 reviews, 263 fresh, 25 rotten. So there's still some reviews to be counted.
Yes.
But we're still right around the same number. Actually, probably not even as much. Yeah. So anyways, Guardians of the Galaxy, you've already made your mind whether you want to see it or not. We're not going to push you off the fence either way.
Nope.
All right. So that is the latest offering from Marvel. And so now this is the part of the show where we get to share time, where Art and myself talk about how we've been entertaining ourselves for the last 2 weeks. So Art, take it away.
Okay, I'm going to start on the lighter end. So I actually watched some of the RDMAs, the Radio Disney Music Awards, because Aubrey loves to sing. She loves to dance and bop around. And an awards show where all her favorite TV stars and Disney pop star / actors are all singing and dancing and bopping around. She was all in. I saw quite a bit of that. I didn't pay attention to any of the awards, but I watched a lot of the acts, and they were just having fun with it, and it was enjoyable, and it was fun to watch her singing along and just thoroughly enjoying it. I've continued to watch The Magicians. I am still thoroughly engrossed. I watched The Discovery. The Discovery is, it's got Robert Redford, it's got, the guy from How I Met Your Mother, the big, tall, goofy one.
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel, yeah, it's got Jason Segel. It's got Rooney Mara, is that right?
Rooney Mara, I think.
Rooney Mara.
Yeah.
I knew it was something like that, but another big name. So it's got a really good cast. It's a very interesting story. We talked about it before. It is about a scientist who proves unequivocally that there is an afterlife and the consequences of that discovery. I found it really interesting. I felt like it kind of all fell apart at the end. I was disappointed with the ending. I won't go into exactly what that is, but I will say it was a slow, methodical place. It wasn't plotting. It was just very methodical in the way that it kind of moved forward. It was slow, but intriguing. But then, like I said, I did not care for the ending, for a number of reasons that I may get into, at another time. I think it's worth seeing, because I think different people will react to it in different ways. I listened to the first book of The Expanse. I finally managed to get all the pictures off my phone so that I had enough room to download the Audible file, which I picked up on sale. I think I paid like $3 for the book and maybe $4 for the audio. So... I got that down on my phone. It took me about 2 days to listen to, and it was really good. It wasn't really what I expected from the way people talk about it. And I don't know, this is just the first book, and it seems like it's got a lot of interesting places it can go. But there was times where it felt very much like a story I had heard before. And I can't quite put my finger on where I would have heard it or where I would have heard even something like it. And part of me is wondering, this is the first book and they're on like, what, 6 or 7 now? I'm wondering if it got excerpted somewhere else at some point, because some of it seems super, super familiar. It's really kind of funny. But I'm definitely going to keep listening to the books. I definitely want to see where else the story is going over the course of the next few books. And then maybe at some point getting into the TV series, because it's all a lot of people I know can talk about. Mm-hmm. The Expanse, The Expanse, The Expanse. So yeah, that's it as far as movie, audiobooks, that type of entertainment. Mentioned International Tabletop Day at the top of the show. Went out to that, had a lot of fun, went to my, not my closest local store, but the biggest store kind of in the area. It used to be like a grocery store shopping front, like a, I don't know what to compare it to for you. Not as big as like a Target or a Walmart, but mm-hmm. like. Kroger, Albertsons.
We have Albertsons.
Okay. It's like the size of an Albertsons, really. You know, just like your general grocery store, storefront size, you know, comic book, game store, role-playing, table, you know, board games, miniature games, huge, huge play area. But anyway, went out to that. It's called Madness Comics and Games. I've talked about it before. It's a very, very nice place. Saw some guys setting up to play Twilight Imperium. I helped them get all set up and get playing because I've got a number of games of that under my belt. Played some Roll for the Galaxy, played Clank, played a little Magic, played some Coup, met some new people. So made some new Facebook friends. Hopefully other people I'll be playing, I'll be gaming with some more in the future. I really managed to connect with quite a number of people in the last few weeks. There was actually somebody I had been Facebook friends for some time through the owner of the Gaming Goat from back in Illinois. He had lived in Chicago, then he moved down to Texas. I had lived in Chicago, I moved down to Texas. And then, you know, we both are always interacting with Jeff Berggren on Facebook. We ended up becoming friends, talking, finally met at Madness. I was just wrapping up and leaving to go, and he posted that he was there. So I got out of my car and I went back inside and I tracked his butt down and finally, you know, met up, said hi. We talked for 15, 20 minutes more after I had already planned on leaving. Come to find out, he lives literally like 5 minutes down the road from me.
Wow.
I told him about the game store I've been going to recently, the one I've been doing Saturday nights at, which is literally on the same road that he lives on. It's like the next major road east of me is Midway, and he lives off of Midway and a street that's just a little further south of me. So it's really convenient to both of us. So hopefully we're going to be hanging out a lot more. So like I said, we're really making a lot of good board gaming connections lately. People who actually want to role play as well. So we'll see where this all goes. I'll keep everybody abreast of it. But it's been a very eventful couple of weeks.
Well, that's cool, especially when you know when you move recently.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to expand the game group a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a friend of mine has been playing in a Blood Bowl league.
Nice.
It's kind of hard to explain it. There's like a circle of friends that you hung out with at certain times in high school, but you kind of lost touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of threw out there to the people that we know in the Blood Bowl League that, you know, we've been playing 5th edition D&D. If anyone's interested, let us know. And we got a couple bites. And one of the guys, John, is someone that I worked with in my first job in high school that I haven't seen for almost 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. The next, you know, because he wasn't able to make it this last Friday, but our next session, he may be there. So we might have one more person in the party.
Cool.
Which would be cool. All right, so is that the end of your share time?
That is the end of my share time.
All right. All right, so I also had an International Tabletop Day to talk about, but this is a movie and TV podcast, so I guess I should leave with that. Okay, so I had finished two shows that I've been talking about the last two or three shows. I finally got around to finishing Killjoys. And I am so relieved that just before I was going to turn on the finale, Sci-Fi had a commercial for Killjoys Season 3 coming June 30th.
Nice.
So glad that I took forever to watch it. So now I don't have to wait for long for season 3. Does this mean that I'm going to watch it in 2017? Probably not. But anyways. yeah, I think they kind of had a clear vision for the second half of season 2 of where they were going, and they kind of stuck to that, I think. I think they definitely want to be like Firefly sometimes. But they stay committed to this whole story they're telling about the wall, which could be an allegory for certain themes that are going on in our contemporary society. But it's they're keeping it sufficiently wacky where it doesn't get super campy with everyone being super serious all the time while all this crazy ridiculous stuff is happening all around them. There wasn't a lot of shocking things that happened in the finale. And I don't know. It just seems a lot of the shows, it seems like their best shows are like before the finale. Or the best thing, you know, their best episodes are like just before the finale. We had to say goodbye to one of the regular characters, and I am sad about that. But for the story, it makes perfect sense. And I have to say, in the finale, there was an almost tearful farewell scene between a character and the ship. That was awesome, which you don't see very often. If you can get to checking out, I would definitely, you know, I definitely recommend Killjoys. And I'm really looking forward to season 3. And that's on Sci-Fi. I don't know where you can stream it or find it, but, you know, definitely check it out. Okay, the other show that I finished watching Star Wars Rebels. Okay, other than the Obi-Wan Darth Maul episode, I greatly enjoyed every episode from this season. And I hazard to say that the space battle at the end of season 3 Rebels, I liked more than the space battle in Rogue One. Just because they did a much, I think that they had, you know, an episodic TV show to kind of build up this showdown at the end, where we had all these that, you know, Thrawn was getting closer and closer and closer. And then things finally, you know, came to where there was a conflict and there was actually, you know, there was actually some consequences of this final battle kind of thing. There's one storyline that I wish that they didn't do, but I understand this is on Disney Channel. And so I wish, I don't know. I didn't enjoy that storyline at all, but I'm really liking where they're going, but you just have to wonder, isn't everybody supposed to die? Are they going to have some people live and then they're going to have some duty to kind of wrap up their storylines in other, maybe the movies? I don't know. But I really enjoyed Rebels. Kanan is starting to really grow on me. And it's not so much that I enjoy his character arc or anything, but I, you know, Freddie Prinze just does a great job with his voice performance with him. I'm really liking him. So I'm going to, you know, all things must come to an end, but I'm really going to be sad when there isn't going to be any more Rebels. But, you know, it could make room for something else that could be even better. So who knows?
Yep.
All right. So that's pretty much what I've been watching on movies and TV. I do have to say, though, I might be the only one that listens to the show, that watches the show, but the middle to me is going to be the most underappreciated sitcom of my generation. It is so good. It is not overbearing. It doesn't have to be 3 million jokes a minute. And occasionally they do sprinkle in some dramatic episodes. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's Grey's Anatomy or anything, but it's dramatic for a sitcom, but I've grown to love the family, and I've kind of tuned down on Modern Family. I think to me the middle is a much better show, and I relate so much better to the middle than I do to Modern Family or probably any other sitcom that's on right now. So I'm not gonna lie, it's quirky as heck. No pun intended, because all the characters on the show are last name are Heck. But yeah, it's really good. It's our favorite show. All right. So let's talk about International Tabletop Day. I invited a bunch of people. One person showed up. So Frankie, thank you for not ruining my International Tabletop Day. Even though he did anyways, we played Patchwork. Two grown men. Played a game about making quilts. Took about 35, 40 minutes. Had a great time. He's never played Pandemic. And I think I'm at a point with Pandemic that it's better to play it on the app. I don't know. Just because you get, when you have these things where you have to place out the disease cubes out. And then, you know, when you start the game, you have to split, you know, the multiple decks. And that kind of thing. It's just, you know, you just get used to, and maybe I've played the Pandemic app too much, but you just get used to everything being so more more streamlined and quicker and everything. You don't end up playing it with other people, and that's the whole point of board games. But anyways, I guess to each their own. But we had a fun time playing Pandemic. As usual, with two people, we ended up winning with two cards left in the deck. So that was exciting. Then, after a short meal, we decide we wanted to play something epic. So I broke out Star Wars Rebellion. And the only thing that was epic was the Imperial beatdown that I suffered. I put the Rebel base in the wrong place. I actually put it on a planet that is actually generates some pretty good resources. So I cut down on my resource track, which is a big mistake. So my tip to you, if you're going to put the Rebel base on a planet, make sure it doesn't create a lot of resources. Put it on a planet that doesn't create anything. And this would have been the worst, darkest movie ever because Leia got captured, Mon Mothma got captured, and I think General Rykan, or no, Dodonna got captured. So I had three leaders got captured, and I had no chance of getting them out anywhere. So yeah, it was. I was waving the white flag at the very end of the game. I just put one Y-wing at the Rebel base and say, "Just come kill me, please, please, just kill me." I tried to build the ion cannon. They thwarted that pretty soon, and I was like, "Okay, this is how it's gonna go." All right. And then after that, we played Lost Cities, and I greatly enjoyed Lost Cities, even though I figured I was playing wrong. The order at which you calculate the points does matter, folks. So the only game that I won, Lost Cities, I maybe shouldn't have won. So anyways, yes, International Tabletop Day. That's how it went for me. Also need to talk about trailers. The trailer for the Marvel Netflix Defenders dropped today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Everyone clamoring for Luke needs to smack Danny around kind of thing. Kind of keep in line or anything. Yeah, we'll see. Very excited about that. No idea who Sigourney Weaver is. I know the fanboys have a theory, but I don't want to repeat that here. And then we have Dark Tower. I don't know if I want to watch the trailer because my judgment is clouded because I talked to my coworker Frankie that came over. His sister and her father got to go to a test screening of Dark Tower over in Carson. So it was a couple cities over, off 605 for those people who are local here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a little starstruck because Ron Howard was in the audience with them. So her quick, I guess, feelings on Dark Tower is she didn't really like it. She really didn't know what was going on. It seemed like there was too many plot holes. And Matthew McConaughey might be miscast, in her opinion. So we'll see. It's not scheduled for release until August. So, I mean, maybe they can, you know, move some things around, but we'll see. But, you know, Idris Elba, come on, man. He can carry a movie. So, all right. So I think that covers everything I want to talk about in some type a haphazard rambling way. So now that we're done with share time, let's get on over to news. Art, what news do you have for us?
Okay, so I am going to kick off with, well, speaking of trailers that dropped, the first trailer for The Dark Tower dropped, and my jaw dropped when I saw it. I could not be happier with the look of this trailer. Idris Elba, I feel, really brings the gunslinger. The character's just kind of like presence. Matthew McConaughey as the, what is it, the man in black? The man, oh, I forget the character name, it's been forever. But anyway, I think it looks really good. I'm really excited for it, and I can't wait to see how it does. I think you should go watch it.
Okay, so that was, so it's my turn for news then?
Yes, your turn for news.
Then. All right, just want to make sure here. All right. Well, this is something that we talked about a while back. We talked about the two shows that are going to be on Freeform.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's another Marvel series that's going on Hulu that apparently they like the pilot and it's being picked up the series. So Marvel's Runaways.
Ooh.
Now. Says here, the coming-of-age action series about six diverse teenagers who can barely stand each other but who must unite against a common foe their parents.
Yep.
This is being show run by Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage, who have worked on The OC and Gossip Girl. So teaser trailer should be coming out soon. But they're saying is it's going to be coming to Hulu in sometime in 2018. So Art, what do you have next?
All right. So details on Logan Blu-ray noir release. So I remember we talked about Logan maybe getting a black and white treatment and a special release. Not a special release, but a screening. You can go to drafthouse.com and see this black and white screening that they're going to be releasing. But when it comes out on DVD, Walmart has the exclusive rights to the noir version. It's also
make me go into Walmart.
Yeah, I know. I'm in Walmart all the time. But anyway, it's also going to come with 9 little movie plate posters representing all the different times he's played Wolverine over the past 17 years. So I thought that was really cool. So yeah, I'll definitely be picking this up at Walmart to get the black and white version and see how that affects the viewing. But yeah, so there you go, Logan. Do they have a... There's no current release date here in this particular article.
All right, well, hopefully we'll find out more very, very soon.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about something that's peripherally related to movies. And since we are wont to talk about the occasional board game or not, what if I told you about a board game that's going to be coming out in October that the subtitle is Infection at Outpost 31?
I saw this. Yes.
So apparently they, let me see. Oh, bad article writer. They're not saying who's publishing it.
That would be USAopoly.
Really doesn't say anything in here. Anyways, okay. So there's going to be The Thing, the board game. It says that, so their description is an alien life form has infiltrated a bleak and desolate Antarctic research station, assimilating other organisms and then imitating them. In the hidden identity game, The Thing, Infection Outpost 31, you will relive John Carpenter's sci-fi cult classic in a race to discover who among the team has been infected by this heinous life form. Play as one of the dozen characters like helicopter pilot McCready, mechanic Childs, or station manager Gary. Face sabotage and infection as you investigate the facility, gather gear, battle the thing, expose any imitations among you, and escape Outpost 31. Look for it in stores and online this October.
Yeah, I was I would be a little worried the whole USAopoly thing, but they've really upped their game in the last few years. And their last big hit was the Hogwarts deck building game. So I wouldn't say that they're on par with what I totally just blanked. The company that did Spartacus and
Gale Force 9,
yeah. I don't know that they're quite on par with Gale Force 9 is doing with their licensed properties, but they're definitely not slacking either. So I'm interested in this.
Yeah, because I'm looking at. Well, hold on a second. Nope, never mind. I'm on the wrong page. All right, what do you got next?
Okay, well, I gave you plenty of time, sir. So I'm just going to throw this out there. Jordan Peele signs Universal multi-film deal. So following the stellar critical acclaim and $194 million global box office haul from the tight $4.5 million budget for Get Out, filmmaker Jordan Peele has decided what he's doing next. There were reports, we reported on here, about him being courted to do Akira. Instead, he's going to stick with doing his own stuff, signing a deal with Universal. He has a 2-year first look production deal with his Monkey Paw production banners. As part of the deal, they'll handle Peele's next film, a currently untitled project that has been dubbed a social thriller and is said to sport a budget around 5 times larger than Get Out. So 18 to 25 million, somewhere in there. So that's a much bigger budget for him to deal with. It will be the second of apparently four films of this kind that Peele has planned, which have already apparently been written. Additionally, Peele and producer Jason Blum will develop micro-budget projects for directors from backgrounds that traditionally get fewer opportunities because of their gender, race, or sexuality. So I thought that last little line was very interesting. So yeah. giving more opportunities to other minorities, whether it be based on gender, race, or sexuality. So yeah, very interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, well, good on him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and they probably got a million skits.
Yeah.
That they could probably make in the movies. All right. I really don't have much left with the whole news thing.
Okay.
But I do want to say that if you are someone that has watched Killjoys, you almost have to go to the website because they drop all these different systems and slang. And I've watched two seasons of the show and I still don't know anything about the planets where they've gone, you know, where they're going. Mm-hmm. And I also found out that if you love their ship Lucy, you can go to the sci-fi website and you can purchase, or not purchase, but you can get the files to print out 3D wise Lucy.
Oh, I wonder, do you know what the scale is?
Why don't you go to your next news story and I'll see if I can find out while you.
All right.
How you doing?
Okay. So the next Dunkirk trailer teased hits this Friday. So I thought that was interesting, being as that is a very much a movie that is on your radar due to its director.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just at this point, it's Wednesday night. So we are 2 days away from a new trailer for Dunkirk. It'll be interesting to see how much more they show of it. I think we've already got a good feel for what it's going to be about. The story is, you know, it's a matter of historical record at this point. So it's not like there's going to be, it's not like it's going to spoil you as to what's happening. So just thought I'd mention that. And the last thing I wanted to mention, I can't remember, we talked about, there's a brief period for a couple of shows where we talked about Kumail Nanjiani.
Mm-hmm.
And his movie The Big Sick is coming out. I actually just saw the trailer for this literally right before we went to do the show tonight and then came across this story. The trailer hitting. It's a Sundance sensation. Were we talking about this movie at Sundance and now it's getting a bigger release? Do you remember at all why this came up?
No, I don't.
Okay. I remember his name coming up. I remember him. I'm trying to recognize his face, and it was from the Burning Love series where I recognized him from. But anyway, I saw the trailer for this, and this looks really good. It looks really interesting, and it's definitely something I think I'd like to check out.
Okay, so I found the Thingiverse page for Lucy. I don't see anything about scale.
Okay.
I mean, it looks like it probably fit in the palm of your hand.
Right.
I don't really.
Yeah. If they don't give any measurements on it, they don't give any measurements on it.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether it might be scaled to a size where you could, you know, use it for Zaya or, you know.
It looks a little bigger than your typical Zaya.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably if you put three Zaya ships end to end, that's probably how long it is.
Okay, so more like maybe it might look good on the shelf next year. X-wing miniatures.
Yeah. Very, very much so.
There you go.
Very much so.
All right. Well, you know, I have one other thing I want to talk about. This one only caught my eye for a new sci-fi romance called Zoe. The only reason it caught my eye is for some of the people who are in the cast. Christina Aguilera, Rashida Jones, Ewan McGregor. I just thought it was interesting. We're getting another, seems like it could be a sci-fi piece that is deeper than just an action type right. movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you talk about how romances and love and things might be affected by the future, you know, the future of science and technology, you could dig a little deeper on that, and that could go somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see what more information comes out about that as we find out more.
All right. I take it you're telling me you're out of news?
I am out of news, sir.
All right. So that will do it for this episode of Backseat Box Office. So for everyone, thank you for listening. For more about this show and the other podcast, Backseat Producers, backseatproducers.com, you can find out how to leave us a voicemail and a bunch of other stuff. So just check out the website. And other than that, again, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time. All right, say goodbye.
Goodbye.